Hello, Clipper people. It's me, William, the Opinion Updike.
And I am Positive Chuck Mockler.
We are Locked On Clippers, part of the Locked On NBA Network.
Woo!
Come at you 5 days a week with all the fresh Clippers content.
Yep.
And we got a bunch of content for you today.
There's some good stuff in here, I think.
Also, just before we get into this episode, Charles and I got to contribute to a fabulous piece over on Clipperholics. Check their stuff out. They're great.
Oh,
but
absolutely.
If you didn't listen to the pod yesterday, Brian Cullen called me out asking if I had promoted
dude,
it.
Dude, he checked you, dude.
We promoted the article. If you haven't read it yet, in case you missed it, please check out the article. All right, on to today's show.
Will owes Brian money also.
We're going to kick things off with a Rockets-Clippers preview. Feeling pretty excited about this one.
Yeah, I feel uneasily confident, if that can make any sense.
Oh, I mean, I'm right there with you. But we're going to get into what we need to do to win this one, what could go wrong, as well as some key matchups you'll want to watch in that upcoming game. And then we're going to move into our Thirsty Thursday segment. We talk about who and what we're thirsty for. We're feeling pretty parched.
Pretty parched. Want to see some more good from Fee. And then we're talking some sipping. So which is the opposite of Thursday.
Taste.
Yeah, we'll taste.
And then we're going to be wrapping things up with some shavings. You know it. You love it. Also called clippings. Shout out, Twitter user.
Yeah.
So stay tuned for all that and more coming up right about now.
So the Rockets come to Los Angeles to play the Clippers at Staples.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, on Thursday. I won't get to be at the game.
Are you fired up for this one?
I'm excited for this one.
You're not going to be at the game?
I'm not going to be at the game. I have an obligation I have to attend. I don't want to get into it. That's for Locked On Charles. Season series is tied at 1-1.
Okay.
Last matchup, we were missing Shamet. They were missing Gordon. Everyone else played. How do you just feel going into this one? Are you confident we're going to win this game?
I'm feeling... Yeah. I feel pretty confident on this one.
That's fair. It's the stats. All right, let's get into what we need to do well.
Okay.
I'm not really sure how I feel.
Okay.
Because if you look at some of the stats, they're weird. We need to... They rank 27th in opponent three-point attempts per game at almost 37 a game.
So people take a lot of threes against them.
People hurl threes against the Rockets. And the last five games, we're only taking 30. So they're spotting us. On average, they're spotting teams almost 33%. More than what we take right now in this current stretch.
I like it.
Which leads me to believe that we might see another 10 plus 3-point attempt by half from Paul George, which I'd be fine with.
Mm-hmm.
I think most people would. But we're going to need, Bev's been shooting lights out.
Yeah.
Which has been great. We're going to need that to continue. In that 5-game span I was saying where we're taking 33s a game, we're shooting 37%, which is respectable.
That's respectable for a team?
Definitely respectable as a team. Patterson's at 35% of the last 5 games. So like a Lou and Bev barrage to help out Paul George, because we know that that's going to happen for sure.
Definitely.
One of those kind of nice, like a Lou or Bev night would be great from deep. And I'm not saying like they need to chuck up like, I don't think Bev needs to shoot like 7 threes.
Yeah.
But Lou might.
I got to disagree with you there. Ooh. On Lou. I want to see him going to the line. I want to see him doing what he does well. In my opinion, we got to win the shootout in this one. We're looking at the first and second ranked teams in free throw attempts NBA.
Yeah, just like last time we played.
They're taking only like one more attempt than us per game, and we're at a nearly identical percentage, which was surprising to me. I feel like...
For how much... One particular player on the Rockets' free throw game is lambasted. You would think it would be an astronomical amount team-wise as well.
I think it's a little bit more spread out on the Clippers in terms of attempts. So I do think stylistically that helps a little bit.
For sure.
To watch for fans. And, you know, it's good to look at. What do you want me to say? So I think that that's going to be something that's super important. It's in our DNA. I like what you said here for what we need to do to win. Play Kawhi's speed.
Yes. Sorry, real quick about your free throw attempts. It's very funny. James Harden's taking 13 a game. Number two, Russell Westbrook's with 6. Number three, Clint Capella, just under 3. So that is skewed a little heavily towards one guy in particular.
Yeah.
But yeah, the Kawhi speed thing is something that I kind of just added last second. I love when he's in that, like, It's not second gear. There's no, like, word for... You know what I mean? There's no, like, kind of comparison in terms of gear. It's just Kawhi's speed. Nothing looks rushed. Nothing looks slow. It's this kind of... He's almost...
It's the heavy load.
Okay. I don't know about that. Where he's dictating the tempo.
Yeah.
Of almost everything. That's going to be hard, though, because they have two guys on their team who can also dictate the tempo.
Yeah, well,
if
one.
Things are going the way, yeah, currently. But so if that, if we're kind of in Kawhi's speed more often than not, I will feel very comfortable at like halftime of this game.
Yeah, I think that that's an interesting note because the Rockets are like the third fastest team in the NBA in terms of pace. Though, you know, they're highest... The focal point of their offense is not someone that you traditionally think of as speeding up the pace of a game.
Yeah.
So I think that Westbrook definitely adds a factor there. I'm curious to see if we do end up doubling hard and heavy again.
He's averaging 40 in the last five games.
Yeah. So the you
and
know,
8 assists. God damn.
So they might be overcoming, you know, like the double... The doubling Harden trope that was kind of
Harden the
recipe for success yeah. for kind of beating the Rockets there for a while. I do like that we have such a switchable personnel. I do think that that'll help with that. But let's get into what could go wrong in this one.
It's a bunch of stuff.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
When a team like this offensively, I mean, you have Harden. Maybe Westbrook plays within himself and doesn't get rattled by Pat Bev, who is currently winning that matchup, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
They're a top five rebounding team. Capella's at 14 a game. Westbrook's at almost 9 a game. So Bev's going to have to be on his rebounding kick.
Yes.
And so is Zoo early. Because if they get that dictated, that's maybe when that pace comes in and they start imposing that on us. And then there's the thing that I feel like we'd say so much last year. They can out-volume us from three.
Yeah.
They're number one in 3 points attempt. Harden's taken 14 a game, shooting 36% on those. But they're 24th in percentage.
How many... So if you look at the stat sheet and Paul George has taken less than what number of free throws do you think from just looking at the stat sheet you say we lose this game?
Free throws or threes?
Threes, sorry.
Threes?
12?
It's got to be the 10? Same amount as Harden.
Yeah, okay.
Maybe... Because I imagine that Kawhi and Paul George are going to be playing a lot of minutes in this game.
Yeah. It depends. There's a lot of factors. It was a vague question. I guess.
But no, you know what I'm saying? I think, like, if... I mean, Paul George is shooting at...
He's got to be hitting that same production.
He's
got to
be double digits easy.
Yes.
Yeah, comfortably in the double digits.
Yeah. No, well, I like that answer, that he's got to be, like... It's got to be comparable to whatever Harden
is
putting up.
Yeah, because if he's hitting, it's just like, well, shit. But that also goes into the Westbrook, you know... If Westbrook is deciding to actually play effective Westbrook basketball, that makes things harder.
Yes.
But against Patrick Beverley, I'm not, you know, sure.
I have kind of one, and I don't want to be a crybaby or whatever.
Cry about it, dude.
I mean, there's absolutely nothing wrong with crying. And if I was feeling like crying about it, I'd
never,
do it.
We can't, none of us is ever going to cry on the pod, though. I want to make that clear.
I might.
We're editing it out. No one wants to listen to that.
I might. Do we worry about the reffing in this one?
The Suns game, they let guys go. Like Paul George and Oubre were like going at it.
I was pretty surprised at some of that. So it was kind of funny because I was monitoring the game on Twitter and the Suns, some Suns fans were talking about how Paul George gets superstar calls. But I felt like in that game especially, he seemed to be taking a lot of contact without really getting to the line. So
he tries to get one certain superstar call a lot, which is the drive on the right side and just kind of like do a weird step clearly into the defender and then hoist up kind of a bad shot.
Yeah.
That's something he does that he doesn't really get the call on. So eat it, anonymous Suns fans.
No, the Suns fans are good people.
No, they're great.
Only the best of them.
Only those people in particular.
So he's currently taking 5 a game on the season.
Fouls?
He's taking 5 free throw attempts a game on the season average. It's down from 7 last season.
Okay.
Now, he took 9 against the Rockets when we met in November. I believe that's his second highest on the season. I think the first highest is still Indiana with 11. But the numbers aren't important. What's important is... are we worried that he's not getting calls? And if he can't get to the line, that is foreseeably taking, you know, at least, let's call it a conservative 7 points a game.
Conservatively seven? No, I think, well, I think this is where the Kawhi, where Kawhi comes in. Because he's kind of clock, he's in the paint area more.
Yeah.
It seems like. And I just think we've needed his shooting so much with roster continuity stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I hope he gets to the line. I might be a little worried about reffing in this one.
Okay.
If Tony Brothers is reffing, I'm absolutely worried about that.
And Trez, you know, I think that he struggles sometimes to get some calls.
Yeah.
But, you know, what are you going to do? We can't control that. It's just something it could go wrong for us.
Yeah, and so key matchups, we've talked about their free throws a little bit. In both games, they've had more makes than we have had attempts.
Oof.
Which is frustrating. That's one of the more frustrating stats that you can possibly deal with.
Yeah.
I have to think they're going to try and go at Zoo early,
mm-hmm.
given his propensity for fouls. So I'm hoping we can win that battle. But in terms of personnel matchups, I think we talked about this on the commute back. What are we going to see in terms of like versus Harden and versus Westbrook? Are we going to see a zone? They play. So if you look at the like percentage of ISO
uh-huh.
in terms of people's offensive percentages, Harden's one, Westbrook's two, LeBron's three, Austin Rivers is four. So both units play ISO basketball.
Yeah,
for the Rockets.
I don't think we see as much zone in this one.
Yeah,
they just have the. I feel like they have the personnel to break through
bust
that.
It up.
And I mean. Yeah, I guess it just depends on how the help defenders would come in to assist you on Harden. But if he's just shooting, I don't know how it's effective.
Yeah. And in terms of Westbrook, Paul George had him for almost three times as much as the next defender, which was Mo, and held him to 1 of 5 shooting. So I think we're going to see maybe an effort to keep Paul George on Westbrook specifically.
Yeah.
And for Harden, there was like 2 to 3 minutes of defense from Kawhi, Bev, and Mo each. I mean, he ended with 37 points. 14 of those were from free throws. So, like, I think this is now that we have, like, everyone kind of back and playing good defense,
uh-huh.
this is going to be really fun to watch.
Yeah, yeah. I'm curious to see.
Maybe Mo's on whoever has the ball.
Yeah, I'm curious to see how aggressive they are on Harden or if they just try to cut off drives to the basket and do their best to avoid fouling.
Yeah. I like your thing in here about Pat Bev.
Yeah, so Pat Bev versus the fire.
I love the fire. Like, own fire.
Yeah, his energy is a double-edged sword. We can be honest about that. Most of the times, it is good.
Yes.
But
85% of the time, it's good.
Sometimes it's not so good, especially it seems like in games against Russell Westbrook. He fouled out in the win in November. He was a net minus 17.
The notes say minus 16.
Well, the stats.nba.com says minus 17.
Oh, damn it.
He was 2 of 6, 1 of 2 from 3. He added 3.
What do you not like about this stat line?
He added 3 boards and a steal, also had a turnover.
But it was tough.
And he fouled out. I just hope that he's in a better spot to contribute to winning basketball. Because I'm not saying that Pat Bev is the type of player that needs to fly off the stat sheet. And I'm not saying that this performance... I mean, I certainly didn't think it was a net negative 17.
Yeah.
But it was not a good game from Patrick Beverley. And I would love to see him harness that in a way that we normally see it, which is contributing to winning basketball, not contributing to on-court... stupid yelling matches. I don't
know. Whoa, some fire from William Updike about Patrick Beverley.
We had a conversation about this yesterday. It was that clip with Harden. Who was he shoving back and forth with?
Jacinta Murray?
Yes.
Yeah, and they're like about to fight or whatever, and it's like, we don't watch basketball for fights.
That's not really what I think is interesting about
basketball. I don't think Bev's going to do that. Lou versus Revenge. He put up 26 and 8 dimes last time. If he does that again, I think we get the win. Well, because we, you know, everyone's back.
No, absolutely.
And then, real quick, do this Jermichael one. We got like one
okay,
minute.
So a role player versus Jermichael's minutes. I'm assuming Jermichael doesn't play in this one.
Yeah,
I haven't heard anything that strongly.
He's listed as questionable still.
Yeah, I haven't heard anything that convinces me otherwise. He was in street clothes yesterday.
Yeah.
So that doesn't make me positive that he's going to play like the day after that. But judging off the last matchup, that's 26 minutes that are up for grabs for role players to come in and try to carve out a role on this spot. And he wasn't spectacular in this last game against Houston. He went just 2 of 6, 0 of 4 from 3. But that's an opportunity for somebody on this roster. I'm wondering, who do you see slotting into those minutes, and who do you think could look good?
I think it's Patterson.
I got to say the same. It's got to be Big Pat.
I think it's Patterson.
I think in some...
Magruder took 4 threes last time, which I think the Rockets would be content with, so I think they'll maybe try and get him to shoot more, but I think it's Patterson.
Yeah.
Because he didn't play in the last one.
Yeah. And I think that he'll get a lot of pretty wide open shots.
Yeah. What's your prediction for this game real quick?
Real quick prediction for this game. Okay. I think that we take it. I'm going to go... I kind of hope that we hold them to a lower total. I'm going to go 120 to... 110.
I'm thinking, really the third offensive rated team. 135. No. 125 to 120 Clippers, and we have a Honk for Harkless game. Coming up after this, we got our Thirsty Thursday. But first, if you're a Spotify listener, use Spotify Wrapped to show us your Locked On podcast for the year. Take a screenshot and tag us at Locked On Live or at Locked On Clips, at William Updike, at Charles Mockler on Twitter. And we will share and retweet and see if you can beat Twitter user Tony, currently in the lead. Okay, Thirsty Thursday.
Hey.
Couple of things. Actually, really, there it is. Really one thing I'm in particularly would like to see more of. More G League Fee.
I love this. I love this take.
He crushed the other night. He had 36 and 12. He hit 5 threes against the Santa Cruz Banana Warriors or whatever they are. It's nice he's getting the time, obviously.
He also looked confident, which we haven't seen a whole lot of him looking on the court.
He looks confident. Doc doesn't seem to trust him with any real rotational minutes. Derek Walton's ahead of him, who he's also ahead of Terrence Mann. And then it's
Fee. Well, I mean, way different positions and... Yeah.
But
I
even, mean, yeah, like, I think for sure.
I think just watching, I feel like everyone out there can agree that there's a reason that.
Yeah, so my thing is, like, he should just stay in the G League.
Yes, I agree.
Like, I don't, I mean, it's
they good. Ended up recalling him, though, correct?
Yeah, so it's good he's around the guys and stuff like that. I don't think this is, like, a big detriment or anything, but just keep him down there. We're not going to play him against the Rockets. I don't think smash cut to him hitting 5 threes or something against the Rockets, but, like, let him go down there. Keep killing it.
Yeah, this is one of those...
Kind of what Delgado did.
Yeah.
Shout out Angel Delgado, by the way.
It's one of those things I guess I kind of struggle with because I do think that you know I'm a big fan of the redshirt year, and I do think that you can learn a lot, you know, being on the bench, but seeing the game played at the highest level, getting to observe it in a way that you never really have before. However, I still do think it's really important, especially for guys who lack the confidence, who, like, that's part of the issue of their game. To get confident, man, and to do that, I think that you need to
murk people.
I think that you need to have some comfortable winning minutes, you know, albeit at a lower level. So yeah, I'm pro this. I like, you know, keep Fiji.
Do you think Mann should stay down there?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Not forever, but
yeah. He's getting a little bit of more run. Like, he gets, like...
It just depends on, you know...
Now that everyone's healthy-ish.
I was going to say, it also just depends so much on the availability, and there's a lot of factors, but I would like to see Terrence Mann maybe play some G League games just to... Same thing, get his confidence up. Get that shot back to where it needs to be.
I don't even think back to where it needs to be. Just get it where it needs to be.
Yeah.
And then this other thing, I'm not really... This isn't a thirst... I'm enjoying sipping lightly from my continuity and tonic.
Okay.
With everyone kind of getting back from injuries.
Yeah.
With the 29-game mark, we haven't been lucky enough to have that first gel period yet that Chauncey Billups and I have discussed so much.
Yes.
Not
one
together.
On
yeah, a constantly one-on-one. But
we'll be at 30 games after we play the Rockets.
We'll be at 30 games after we play the Rockets, which, if everyone was healthy, kind of seemed like the number of games it would take for the team to be like, oh, we get it.
Yeah.
But let's say Jermichael comes back during the weekend doubleheader.
Okay.
Maybe the second game. That's going to be 32 Sower games that it took to have the team at complete full strength.
Mm-hmm.
So now, where do we think this team kind of gets through the first gel period?
Optimistically?
I mean, whatever you... I mean, well, realistically, whatever.
I think it's, like around 50, 52 games.
Yeah.
I mean...
I think maybe 45, because there's been like pieces in and out.
Yeah.
It's been kind of like a switch, like a tag almost.
So there's two things too. It'll be players hitting their stride, you know, like physically coming back from injury, as well as our schedule hitting a bit of a stride.
Interesting.
So I think that we're poised to maybe right before the All-Star break or right after go on a couple of nice little runs. Rip off a couple of six game win streaks, eight game win streaks. The way that our
couple of eights, maybe three eights.
The way that our schedule is set up, you know, like there are just difficult games, and obviously back to backs will always be a question mark. But I think that we call, I think that this team, they haven't been disappointing to me at all so far.
No,
but I don't see any reason why they couldn't like put together a nice string of wins.
Because we kind of bookend the season with good and good teams. With us. What's like? What happens after Christmas? Because that'll be. Yeah, so we'll be at 32 after this weekend, and then Christmas is 33. So, yeah, there's still, like, 17 games or so. So, like, what, like, end of January?
Yeah. I was thinking, like, after we play the Lakers for the third time this season, the 28th, that game is technically, you know, a home game. And then we've got a stretch of four home games against under 500 teams, except for the Heat, who are an Eastern Conference team, so they barely even count. And then we take and then we take on the Cavs, Sixers, Celtics, both difficult games, both winnable games to me. And then we come back home to face the Kings and the Grizzlies, and then the Suns before we do have to play the mighty, mighty Denver Nuggets. So I think that...
So there's like some spots in there where we can make some nice dents.
But you see what I'm saying about the peaks meeting possibly at the right,
yeah,
at the right
okay.
time of the schedule. Like that late, that end of January kind of time.
Right, if, before the All-Star break.
Yeah, if we're able...
Or around the All-Star break, excuse me.
Yeah, if we're able to see a return, we could go into the All-Star break with a nice win streak, come out of it, win some more
with
games.
That momentum. Maybe the team will have practiced by then, which will be good. No, because they still haven't had a full practice.
But yeah, I agree. I'm thirsty for this continued continuity.
It's been really good, and I think I'm excited for Doc to be able to start coaching more realistically with rotations, because the plays have been there. Like his, you know, he's been drawing up plays fantastically.
This brings up one other thing that I want to talk about too. When talking about this gel period,
yeah,
is Shamit the hardest of all the pieces to fit back in? So, here's my argument.
Huh. You're pro this argument.
I think that Shamit is the hardest piece to work back in out of all the pieces, yes.
Okay.
So, Paul George, before he ever even played with the team, it was pretty clear what his role was going to be.
Yeah.
Number one and number two guy,
yeah.
Be Paul George, right? Jermichael Green, to me, plays his role. Plays it pretty well. I think that it's such a defined skill, and it's not like last season where we have to lean on him quite so heavily most of the time.
For sure.
Where, you know, he knows his role. He's been with the team. He can come back in and play. Magruder, I think, a little bit more difficult. Less time with the team, for sure. But once again, like, they're hoping that he can play solid defense and knock down an open shot, you know? Maybe add some couple wrinkles offensively.
Or a career high in boards.
Not a whole lot of expectations. Yeah. But then you look at Shamit, and you look at a guy who was a cornerstone of our offense last year.
Yeah.
Started the season in the starting lineup, had his difficulties, and now might be switching roles to a different unit in which he will most likely see decreased shots, but either be expected to hit tempo faster, or he could be thrust back in the starting lineup. So I feel like from a gelling standpoint...
I mean,
standpoint,
when you put it like that...
from a gelling standpoint, it's the most interesting piece to me to return from injury, right?
I'm kind of torn, because I think it might be Jamichael.
Okay. So what's your argument for Jamichael
because, like,
being
if
harder?
If he's not... I don't know. Because Jamichael does do a lot of other things naturally a little better than Shamet. Rebounding.
That's why I'm saying it's easier for him to just hit the gel.
Yeah. But Jamichael's also expected to be kind of efficient, too.
That's fair.
He's expected to even maybe more so in terms of, like, the efficiency expectation. I'm not talking in terms of total points or anything like that. Might have the same, if not a tiny bit more than Shamet, of, like, you got to make your shots.
Yeah.
Like, because you're only getting X amount of game for sure. Where Shamet, to your point, those threes attempts are probably going to go
down.
There
are specific sets in this offense that are drawn up for Shamet.
For him, yeah.
Not that there aren't for Jamichael, but it's a little bit different, just the motion that's involved and obviously the regard with which, you know, Doc speaks about Shamet and his ability to create that kind of motion.
Shamet might be the hardest because I think he'll be in the starting lineup more than Jamichael.
Yeah, exactly. And these
or
two guys
haven't
played with him as much yet.
Yeah. That's an interesting one.
I don't know. It seems to me like it's the most interesting piece to return from injury thus far.
Definitely. If you are out there online, hit up at Will Updike, at Charles Michael, at Locked On Clips. Which do you think this is the hardest one to gel into?
Yeah.
Coming up after this, we got a couple things kicking around in the shaving / clippings, but still shavings drawer.
All right.
So real quick, we got a couple things. Oh, want to get this? We'll do a non-Clippers one first, and then a Clippers one, right?
Okay. Yeah.
Shout out David Blatt.
Oh yeah,
got hired as the Knicks basketball consultant. I'm a Blatt head. Wish he was still coaching, but we'll see. He's going to be helping on the operations side of scouting and the G League stuff, which is nice. He's like retiring from coaching effectively.
Oh wow.
What if the Knicks just randomly make good front office moves? Does it matter at all? Because they have Dolan. Like, what if they get?
If they make good front office moves, I do think that that matters. I think that you can still win with a
terrible owner.
I mean, it certainly makes it harder.
Yeah.
But
it was a good hire, though. I was like, oh, wow, it was a good hire.
Sucks
for whoever comes to coach the team.
When you told me this first, I didn't realize that it was just like a consulting role.
You thought it was like GM.
And I was like, why in the world would David Blatt want to take on that?
Yeah.
So that good for Blatt. I'm excited. I hope some good can happen. I don't know. It'd be cool if the Knicks weren't just ass forever.
Yeah, that's well said. But all right, so one last Clipper thing. LeBron talked about how if he's healthy, he's playing no matter what. He doesn't know how many games he has left. What if a kid crawls in the snow barefoot? Three ways to see him play. All the anti-load management tropes you could fit into a soundbite. Doc was asked about these comments. I believe it was Mark Medina who asked it. He said it's our philosophy in terms of Kawhi's load management. He goes, I don't know what theirs are. I think theirs is whatever LeBron says it is, to be honest. That makes a lot of sense to me. I like what we are doing, and I think it's a smart thing to do. Who knows? We'll see at the end. First of all, he gives credit to LeBron. This is a great answer.
Yeah.
They do for sure what LeBron says, and that's the smartest thing to do. It's what we're doing with Kawhi.
Yeah, I don't know, man. You know how tired I get of this conversation.
This like curmudgeon-y ass view of load management. It's like, dude, if you don't want to do it,
here's the
don't
thing,
do
though.
It.
I mean, and I don't need to bring this up. I'm sure other people than I have, but like, there was a great article written last year about how much LeBron rests in game, and it's like really, really smart stuff. And you look at it, and it's like, sure, part of you can get mad. It's like, shouldn't you be like a blowhard for all 36 minutes that you play?
Yeah.
And it's like, no, because that's not the smart thing to do.
Yeah.
You know? And yeah, he gets flack for like taking off plays defensively or whatever. But like, man, I would so much just rather see LeBron take games off and then come be LeBron.
Yeah, like if Kawhi was playing and it was like, dude, he does not look right at all, and he was still out there, it'd be like, No, why this, are we this doing is now this? Uncomfortable.
And you know, LeBron hasn't looked like that. Like, LeBron looks strong.
He's having an amazing season.
He's great. He's having an amazing season. This is nothing to disparage him. I'm just saying, like, dude, as he gets up there in age, why the fuck wouldn't you take some games off?
I know.
Like, why it's wouldn't fine. You?
I mean,
I want to keep seeing you play, and I want to see you play good.
And just like Kawhi, it's like, it just gets lost in this, too, that Kawhi has a health issue.
Yeah.
Load management gets lumped into rest.
Yeah.
And it's not that at all. That's what gets me upset. I'm like, dude, Kawhi is not like, I'm tired. I would not like to play the game today.
That's true. I think the way that it gets depicted is definitely.
It gets spun as like, I don't want to play today. And the team's like, okay.
When really it's kind of like, this is the amount of pain that I can A, take, and is B, safe for my body without further injury in 3 days.
And for how serious Kawhi is and how focused he is, he just bought an apartment across the street from Staples. Do you think he doesn't want to play back? Like, that's what, like, the critics of the load management, it's like, so you think he's choosing not to play in some weird way?
Hot take.
Which makes no sense.
Hot take. He bought his apartment because it's closer walking than the player parking lot at Staples.
Good call. I hope he starts taking a helicopter from his apartment to Staples.
I love it.
Oh, man. Anything else in shavings?
No, I think I'm all cleaned up.
Okay. Friday's episode, we're going to have a recap of the hopeful victory over the Rockets. Mm-hmm. We're going to have quick previews of the doubleheader that's going on this weekend.
Oh, yeah.
God damn it. Damn back-to-backs. We're going to have some Pac-Div talk.
That's right.
We're for sure going to be doing a Love, Mary, Kill. This is a jam-packed episode.
You got it.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for listening. You can find us at Locked On Clips, at Charles Mockler, at Will Updike. If you're a local business and you want to advertise, get at us. You can hit me up. You know, feel free to slide into those DMs. Email us, shavings.podcast@gmail.com. You know, sell some stuff. One more time, thank you so much. Please rate us on iTunes. I've been Positive Chuck Mockler.
I'm William the Opinion Uptake. Really appreciate you.